Deer Trucking Awesome. What do you think of when someone says tough? Honestly, I think of a Toyota truck. Tundra's one mean mother of a truck with a twin-turbo V6, an incredible going power, and the Tacoma claws through terrain with a taller suspension and lots of creature comforts in the cockpit. Both Toyota trucks are decked out with tons of cool features and tech you'll dig. Check them out at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome into the DNVR Rockies podcast brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. Now when you use promo code DNVR, you get $200 in free bets instantly when you place a $5 bet this Sunday. That's code DNVR only at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. I am your host, Patrick Lyons.
Good. Just making my way through the day. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It's officially fall now. It's nice and crisp in the morning and not too hot, not too too gross outside. I imagine San Francisco pretty much stays the same temperature all year round. Is that about right?
Yeah, it's it seems to. It's actually a little warmer a lot of times right around now than it is sometimes in the middle of the summer. So, San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get to your guest this week, or guests, I should say, this week on the Drew Goodman podcast. Maybe take a look at the postseason expected clubs there, because we've got a new arrangement here in October, even going in through November. Maybe talk about the World Baseball Classic. But let's start with Wednesday night's game and your guest from last week, for those who may not have already listened to your conversation with Alan Trejo. But he continues to be really productive. Rockies did lose on Wednesday night, 6-3 in San Francisco. But Alan Trejo, two hits, only one with a two-hit night, a double, homer, doing it from the ninth spot in the order. Man, he just continues to be so productive at the plate.
Yeah, he's showing that he's a big leaguer. And, what level, probably still to be determined. I think for many profiles as a utility guy, but he's somebody you never want to sell short. We had this conversation about having a chip on his shoulder, and you've heard me talk about this probably ad nauseum, whether it's with you, Patrick, or on my own show, that I'm a big believer in life that you have to have that pot, that good chip on your shoulder. You have to be, highly motivated and highly competitive. And I think there's this notion that everybody who gets to that level professionally in sports is that way. And there's varying degrees. And he's really driven. I mean, he's driven by the fact that Tovar's there. Not to say he's not a great teammate and greets Tovar with open arms, but he's like, all right, you know what? I've been counted out so many different times. I was counted out, coming out of San Diego State as a 16th round pick, and he has a lot of, I want to show you guys. And so far, guess what? He's putting up numbers, and he's hitting the ball with authority, and we know he's got a good glove. So let's just see where it all goes with a guy like Alan Trejo.
Yeah, that was one of the more interesting comments from last week about, maybe the clubhouse needs more of that. And certainly if you've got an Alan Trejo, you've got that kind of personality or whatever, but that could be something for the offseason. That could be part of the chemistry that Bill Schmidt and his team in the front office will be looking to add, is someone who's maybe more of a leader with that chip on their shoulder. And that could help turn some things around from the inside out.
Well, you need that, and you need the bottom line is to get better, you need more talent. I mean, let's cut to the brass tacks. You need more talent, and you need the talent that you have in many places to be better than they've been. But you can't just, you know, wave the magic wand and everybody's going to be better because you want them to be better. It just doesn't always work that way. I mean, on occasion, you have a year where it seems like everybody has a good season. See the Giants from 2021, you know, but those were guys, by and large, that had done it before. The Posey, certainly, the Crawfords, the Brandon Belt had a career type of year, but he's been a productive player in the past, and they all kind of played well in the same year, and things fell their direction and they ended up winning 107 games. But to just fall back on that and say, oh yeah, everybody's going to be better, too many guys had a down year, that's not a recipe for success. That's not a plan.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Unfortunately, what went against the plan that we learned on Wednesday afternoon, that Charlie Blackmon's season is over. Torn meniscus there in his left knee. There was a moment on Sunday when he hit his double down the line where he rounded first base, just kind of took a little bit of tight, and you know, Connor Joe came in, and I'm guessing that was probably that moment for him. So he's done. He should be back next year. I think there's just a bit of paperwork to take care of as far as player option is concerned, but he'll be back next year, and he's out, and Jose Iglesias back in for the roster for this final week.
Yeah, it's disappointing for Charlie in that he can't finish the season. We talked to him yesterday. In fact, I'm probably going to have him on, whether it's this week or the next week, we're going to tape something, you know, kind of get his synopsis of the season and moving forward. But, you know, Charlie is on record. He wants to come back. He has a player option. I think the first part of the year, the first half, was a better year for Charlie than the second half. I mean, at one point he was on pace to hit, you know, 25, 26, 27 home runs. He kind of got stuck on 16. He's disappointed that he can't finish the season, be in the clubhouse in LA. That's the kind of guy he is. He wants to finish what he starts. He wants to be there as a teammate. So that from a personal standpoint is a bummer for Charlie. I think it'll be good that he's back next year, and what role he has, you know, is he playing, you know, for Charlie, I'm assuming he wants to play every day. You know how he's wired. I don't know if he wants to, you know, have some emeritus status and march around the clubhouse as the former great Rocky and, you know, kind of Jason Giambi pinch hitting twice a week, three times a week, maybe a start here and there. You know, he wants to play. He goes about his business in the offseason trying to get better, you know, and in certain respects, he was better this year than he was last year. I thought it was going to be significantly so. It really becomes marginally so. But anyhow, disappointing overall that Charlie can't finish the season. But let's face it, there's only a handful of games left, and the Rockies are limping right now to the finish line.
It's funny you mentioned Jason Giambi, because I'm recalling a conversation I had with Charlie last week. You know, try to stockpile a lot of off-season content and make sure that when you do talk with him, you ask him plenty about the new rules, because he will be quite frank. Most of the veteran guys, him, Daniel Bard, those guys are not shy about sharing their thoughts on the three new rules that will be coming next year. But I asked Charlie, like, you know, you've kind of been the leader. You've been the old dog in the clubhouse for a couple years now, so this isn't totally new for you, but who were those guys for you when you came up? You know, and Jason Giambi was the first name out of his mouth, and he's, you know, again, if you know, you know that Giambi was a really, you know, key figure for this team during that run in the early 2010s, 2009, and, you know, had some good games too himself, kind of doing those things that Albert Pujols, now we're getting used to seeing him doing at 42 years old. But yeah, it's a bummer to Charlie's. We won't see him again in Los Angeles, but we might see, and we don't have Friday's starters yet. Thursday, we've got Ryan Feltner versus Carlos Rodon. Finally get to see the left-hander there against the Rockies. But Friday's starter looks like it's still to be determined, but it is lining up to be Chad Kuhl. And if it is, that also means he's going to start game 162. So twice in a week in the same location I got to think that's somewhat of a rarity. I mean, maybe there were times in which you play a week at three game weekend series, you go to Denver and then you fly back to that same location and face the exact same team again. But again, one of those strange things that comes out here at the end of 2022.
Well, I put this in air quotes. John Brebbia has started three times against the Rockies in the last week. You know, he's pitched only one inning because it was Johnny Holstaff day for the Giants. And I think in each time he's done that, the Giants have won playing, you know, just having a bullpen day. We'll see. I'm going to ask Buddy later on if he is, you know, maybe going to maybe brings up Zach, you know, Davis again and gives him a, you know, Noah Davis, I'm sorry, gives him an opportunity to get a start. Is it, you know, what benefit is it other than, you know, Herman wants to take the baseball every fifth day because that's how he's wired. Kyle Freeland the same way. But, you know, at some point, is there a benefit to doing that? And you're not playing. I think, you know, Buddy would lean in that direction because he strongly believes in the integrity of the game and the playoff picture. But the games with the Dodgers are going to be absolutely meaningless. The Dodgers have already won the division, clearly. So we'll see how it plays out from a pitching standpoint over the last 6 days. The last thing that you want, as you well know, Patrick, is anybody to go into the offseason, you know, dinged up. Even if it's not a serious thing, you want them to be able to train and not rehab and then train. And so I think Buddy will be really mindful of that, but I'm gonna ask him that specifically later, a little later on today.
Yeah, as you explained it, that's a great way of looking at it. Not like, well, these games don't matter, so let's not play. No, let's just err on the side of caution so that, as you said, you can start your off-season workouts as scheduled. But John Brebbia, Gaylord, he's the Gaylord Perry of our generation here now, as we've quickly learned, starting twice in 3 days at Coors Field. That was an interesting one. You brought up the Dodgers, 107 wins now. I believe that's a franchise record for them. And well, we had a question earlier this week, a super chat about, you know, the Dodgers and their player development system. And I talked a little bit about, you know, what they do when somebody new comes into their organization. Man, they give them like a full body scan to figure out where their weaknesses are and say, actually, you know what, you've got a little bit of a flaw there on your left leg, or you lean one way versus the other. So let's kind of work on those strengths. What kind of, you know, insight might you have on some of those things that the Dodgers do well? Because they got the do-good juice over there, and they magically play better. It's like that with a couple teams, Yankees and others, we know. But they also do things really well overall in their player development system.
Well, they spend a lot of money in a number of areas, as you're well aware, and I think people who follow baseball and certainly people who are listening to this podcast, I don't think this is going to come as some news flash. They have one of the largest analytics departments in baseball. They have, even before there was something known as an analytics department, they've always done a good job in scouting. They did a marvelous job early on in Latin America and getting talent out of Latin America. They were the pioneers almost down there. And they find guys that somehow fit a certain mold. You know, guys that take pitches, you know, Max Muncy, even though the average isn't pretty, you know, a powerful guy that walks a lot. And they just find guys to fit roles. They've also done a ridiculously good job in identifying either bounce back candidates on the mound, whether they were in Japan, whether they were journeymen. And it does seem like it's amazing. I've used this line before. You just referenced it. It seems like they put Dodger blue on and they go into the do-good machine and all of a sudden you're Tyler Anderson, you're going to get Cy Young votes. You know, Tyler Anderson had some nice moments with the Rockies, highly competitive, great changeup. You know, he can sink the baseball, but you know, he's done it start after start after start. Now, yeah, it's great to pitch at Dodger Stadium. I understand that, but I mean, they just have so many of these guys, and I can't put my finger, Patrick, as to why year in and year out it's that way. I will tell you this much, and again, this is not a revelation for you. When you line up Mookie Betts, who they traded for, when you line up Trey Turner, whom they traded for, when you line up Freddie Freeman, who they signed in the offseason as a free agent, those first three guys in the lineup, and then Will Smith, who they drafted, those first three guys in particular, I heard another player on another team tell me last week, he goes, they're going to come around in the eighth or ninth inning. So if they're tied or down a run or the ball game's close in any way, shape, or form, you're going to have to navigate those three at some point late in the game. And it's impossible to get all three of them. And then all of a sudden, maybe you had a one-out double. And next thing you know, you got a Will Smith at the plate or a Justin Turner. So, I mean, it's not like there's a big drop-off after those first three guys were all MVP caliber players. You know, in the case of Freeman and Betts, they've won MVPs. Trey Turner is probably going to be a year in and year out candidate. You know, Will Smith's really good. Justin Turner, you know, it doesn't end. And even when you get to the Muncies, you know, he can flip, you know, ball over the wall or he walks. And next thing you know, you have another guy and you're like, there's no end. So yeah, they're deep. They're talented. They're great in the bullpen, assuming they're healthy. I know they made some changes with Kimbrel, but it's not an accident they're winning that many games.
Yeah, it's definitely not an accident.
I hope I answered your question. I don't know if I did. I don't know why they're so much better. They can hold big contracts. There's very few teams, Patrick, that can have a Freeman making, I forget what he signed for, 160, 180. Mookie Betts is 3.25, I believe, something like that. Trey Turner, I assume they're going to do everything they can to keep him because they let Seager go. That's going to be a big number. You know, they still pay Justin Turner a nice salary. You know, there's Kershaw. It goes on and on and on. They can afford that kind of payroll. So, you know, that doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, that for sure. They can take on those kind of larger contracts that other teams don't want and get good players for them. Like they've made some, you know, incredibly thrifty trades in the past with other teams taking on big contracts and moving stuff around. So you're right. That kind of financial flexibility can be very, very helpful to say the least. But yeah, look, if you're looking for game changing type tailgates and who's the difference here in Denver, it's us, the DNVR.com. It's only 50 cents for your first month. You get price breaks on our tailgates, different party buses that we have for Nuggets and Avs. You get a free shirt from DNVRlocker.com. If you have an annual membership, you get access to the members only Discord and maybe best bet. And look, bottom line, if we're just talking financially, if you're coming down to the DNVR bar in the corner of Colfax and York, and you're going to have a couple beers and grab a bite to eat, if you're a member, you get 15% off your tab every time you come in. So just even that in and of itself is probably going to more than pay for your annual subscription to the DNVR.com. Ivaca, we've seen it all around Coors Field this season. It's the new GOAT in Colorado sports, the greatest of all TV, right? No catches, no contracts. Ivaca is TV made for champions of the remote. You still got seven or so games with our guy Drew Goodman here on AT&T Sportsnet. That's part of the package. Same thing for Altitude Sports. You can get the NFL Network. It's all crystal clear HD with less bandwidth, over 60 entertainment channels. You can use Sling, so you can watch on your phone, laptop, tablet, you name it. Just head on over to evoca.tv/Colorado10. That's evoca.tv/Colorado10. And instead of $25 per month plus the $5 receiver fee, it's only going to be $15 for your first 3 months when you go to this website. We're giving you a nice $10 discount for those first 3 months. And as you watch the Broncos and you get yourself all hyped up here for maybe a true, more dominant victory, make sure you're drinking the brew of the season. It's Breck Brews Broncos Country Pale Ale. Show off that colorful Colorado legacy with the Orange Crush logo and 100% Colorado ingredients. This will be your go-to for the entire football season. Check out the beer locator at www.breckbrew.com to find a Broncos Country Pale Ale near you. One of the other guys I wanted to talk about for the Rockies, and I've been asking around a little bit about it, working on a piece myself, is Michael Tolia and his potential on the defensive side. In right field, you know, he's been very surprising. I think the arm leaves a little something to be wanting, but we know that's a much different throw to make from right field than it is from first base. But he's been tracking some balls down, taking some really good routes. But more importantly, at first base, man, he has got great baseball IQ, great instinct, and I sort of think he's aggressive a little bit defensively at first base in a good way. We've seen that a couple times, getting a guy out of third base there in an extra inning game last week. The throws down to second base on a 3-6-1 double play. He has been really impressive defensively in a short amount of time.
Absolutely. And he is as advertised, because we had heard a couple of years ago that he was really good defensively at first base. I asked him yesterday in the dugout prior to the game, I said, which do you prefer, playing, on the dirt or out in right field? Because remember, two nights ago, he made a wonderful catch in that corner, kind of got, had to slide. He looked like an accordion, but really nice play. He takes good routes in the outfield, but he prefers being on the dirt. He really likes, being at first base, fielding ground balls, picking balls out of the dirt. He's good. He's really good. And now let's see how the offense progresses. Young guy, just getting his feet wet. We've seen some good. We've seen some extra base hits. As of last night, he had more extra base hits, 11, than anybody else on the team in the month of September. A couple home runs, one from each side. He had the game where he had a couple of triples. Like a lot of young players, got to learn to get the ball in play a little bit more, cut down on the strikeouts. But there's been a lot to like about Michael Tolia so far.
Yeah, it's been very intriguing. And I love the symmetries too. And I'm sure you guys have mentioned on the broadcast that Todd Helton started his career as a corner outfielder. Of course, Andre Scalarraga was at first base at the time, but nevertheless, he wins himself 4 Gold Glove awards. So we'll kind of wait and see what happens for Toga. They're not setting the bar that high, but it's just interesting how those two guys who work together, totally even wore number 17 down in spring training for a little while at the start of this year. So it's been really nice to see Tolia do things on both sides of the ball.
Without question. He's got a versatility to him when you want to, and a big guy who has versatility. Little guys, sometimes they have to be versatile. He's a big guy with versatility. And that'll play out, going forward next year if the Rockies keep C.J. Cron for, next season, which I don't know what their offseason plans are as of yet, but, he has 1 year left on his deal. He gives you options, but some of these guys got to step forward. I mean, we're talking about the Dodgers, Patrick, and the bottom line is this. I mean, we both can have a million conversations about what happened, what transpired, what didn't happen. The Rockies need good stories more than some of the elite teams financially. And the Rockies are no different than probably 24, 25 other teams, where you really need a couple of good stories with young players, where all of a sudden they become a household name because they perform at such a high level and now they're helping you win games. The Dodgers can rely on more household names in that they have the payroll to do that. Bill Schmidt referred to Chris Bryan as, we lost an aircraft carrier. He needs to be our aircraft carrier. Well, in a perfect world, yeah, I get that. The reality is, Chris is whatever, 31 now, and hopefully he can be that aircraft carrier, but maybe he's not quite that guy anymore. We'll see. Obviously they're paying him to be that guy, but you need other, again, good stories. You need next year Michael Tolia to pop, and he's a 25 home run guy, or a Tovar figures it out really quickly, and he's playing slick defense, and he hits 22 home runs as a young shortstop. You got to have some stories like that, especially on the offensive side, because they have such a long way to go right now offensively, and it's not just on the road where they don't hit home runs and they don't score runs, fewest runs in baseball per game, fewest home runs by a bunch on the road. It's also at home. They're not as dominant as they need to be offensively, which would lead to more victories at home. They finish just a game above 500. So Yeah, you need Bryant back. You need other guys, though, to all of a sudden really emerge.
Yeah, Tovar is that guy to, you know, that is needed to emerge, as you mentioned there. And this is our first time talking since that debut and since the weekend. Rockies, of course, did go 1-6 at home, which, again, that kind of highlights that issue with not being able to dominate at home as you would like. But, I mean, you had an average of like 44,000 for the entire weekend, 48,000 for the fireworks, 45 on Saturday, 40,000 on Sunday for Tovar, who with a packed house, man, two pitches, two hits, that was really special. I'm curious if, you know, if that ranks anywhere, if that's a memorable performance as far as maybe debuts are concerned for you.
Good question, Patrick. Really good question. And my answer is going to be this. I hope it's really memorable. It'll be really memorable if 3 or 4 years from now, you and I are sitting here doing this show and we're talking about, yeah, Tovar is an all-star, and Tovar, where do you rank him among the best shortstops in baseball? You know, we're having one of those conversations. Then we'll reflect back. Remember his opening day, man, saw two pitches and lined one to center, one lined one to left. Absolutely. However, there's been a lot of prospects. I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer. There's been a lot of prospects, great prospects, that for whatever reason, you know, don't make it. I mean, Spencer Torkelson's still very young, but Detroit had to send him out. He was one of the top prospects, if not at one point the top prospect in baseball. And he did not have a good year with Detroit. Now, if Tovar, you know, never makes it at that level, we probably will forget what happened his first couple at bats. My fingers are crossed, and I know how talented he is, and I'm hoping more for the former in this conversation, where we're lamenting that at some point because, you know, he's had, you know, such a great, you know, first few years in the game. But that's kind of how I'd answer that.
I know that makes a lot of sense. I think that's true. I think it puts things in perspective because there are other guys who've had, you know, pretty monumental type major league debuts. But, you know, they're footnotes, they're names that you might not know. And if you know the name, you're going to remember all the details. We're going to go back and talk about, you know, the 10 best moments of Ezekiel Tovar's career up to this point now, since he's, you know, he joins Tulo and Story as, you know, shortstops to make the All-Star game for the Rockies. I think, you know, that makes plenty of sense. In the last week, we've, you know, and even this season to a degree, had a lot of mentions of Peter Lambert. And he's a guy that outside of, I think maybe he had two appearances last year, you know, a lot of maybe more recent Rockies fans don't know him at all. You know, he was hurt in 2020, played a little bit in 2019, but he's just been this name around there. Yet he had a great start to his career, was the last guy to actually have a base hit in the first pitch that he ever saw. But his debut there in Wrigley Field and at the end of 2019, that was, you know, pretty promising. And you thought, okay, this is going to be a guy that's going to be an important rotation piece for the Rockies going forward, maybe number four kind of guy. We'll see what happens. And we haven't seen anything from him since. And so, of course, we don't remember that debut as well of, wow, all right, shut down a really solid Chicago Cubs team and did great, didn't care about, you know, the big moment there at Wrigley Field and was fantastic. But again, we don't talk about that because of what happens after. So I think your answer makes a lot of sense. We don't know how big of a debut that is until we have more context for the rest of his career, at least the next couple seasons, if you will.
Yeah, it's akin to with Tovar. Pick your sport, pick your organization that's maybe had a couple of really good ones at a key spot, whether it's, you know, the Broncos, Elway, not directly to Peyton Manning, but you have two Hall of Famers, and then you're a young quarterback coming in, drafted high, and we've seen that happen a couple times. And, you know, the expectations are high, not only where they were drafted, but given that they play a position where there's some strong history there. For this kid, Tovar, and he seems unaffected by what happened before him. He's his own guy. He's mature. From what I can gather so far, for a 21-year-old playing at the big league level, he's undaunted by that. But I think for all fans, it's natural going, he's the next Tulo, he's the next Trevor Story. You know, pump the brakes a little bit. Let this kid be the next Ezekiel Tovar, whatever that may be. But when you come to an organization that's had recent giants almost at that position, The comparisons are natural and they are easy to go to.
Yeah, you want that to be the case, but you can't bank on it by any means. Life is what happens when you're busy making plans. So we hope those things come to fruition. Jonathan Daza batted leadoff last night, and I mentioned that because, you know, we've seen him a couple times there, just here and there. But that was, you know, one of the spots I think, you know, Bill Schmidt addressed over the weekend, saying, you know, we need a leadoff hitter. Maybe that's a guy like Brandon Nimmo here from Wyoming, not too far away. But Jonathan Daza could be one of those guys if they can't find a fit. We know how good he is defensively out there in center field. I believe his on-base percentage right now is .348 going into Thursday's game. I know, you know, you want at least a .340 on-base percentage in the first spot. Does make a lot of contact, doesn't walk a ton. So you might have to, you know, tweak a couple things there in his game. But do you expect to see, you know, a lot more of Daza batting leadoff, or do you think he could be a candidate for the Rockies next year, perhaps?
I think that entire question will hinge on who they're able to get, if they're able to add, which I know they want to add. And we've talked about this. They need to add talent. Talent wins. I laugh when people go, oh, Buddy Black. Buddy Black's a really good manager. Buddy Black's a really respected guy in the clubhouse. You got to have talent, man. I used to say this, Patrick, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but within reason, you and me could have coached the Bulls during their heyday. And on the, you know, the year they won 72 games, I was doing the NBA back then, and they were so loaded. And on the rare occasion somebody was close to them late, could we not have gathered everybody around and said, hey, listen, Horace, you inbound it to Michael, and everybody else get the hell out of the way, right? That's our last play. Clear out for Michael. My point is talent wins. Talent wins. And in the specific question about Daza, I like Daza a lot. Good bat-to-ball skills, high energy, good outfielder. You can't have three Dazas, though. Daza doesn't hit the ball over the wall. The Rockies need to improve dramatically in their power production. So you can have one guy like Daza, and I'm a fan of Daza. He's grown on me quite a bit, I'm going to be honest. He really has. And I go back to the personality and the energy and the want to and the I'm going to be here every day kind of thing on both sides of the ball. Would you like Daza to be more of a base stealer? Sure. Would you like him to hit 30 home runs? Yeah, that's not who he is. But I think Daza plays. But you got to be really good on the other corners, and all the corners have to, you know, raise the bar. You got to get a lot more home runs out of second base with Brendan Rodgers. If Brendan's, you know, obviously he's the guy right now, and I'm a big fan of Brendan's. He has great bat to ball skills. He's a good hitter, but he'll be the first to tell you he can't hit it on the ground to the level he has. So I know I'm bouncing around, but with Daza. Daza works if you raise the bar in several other places significantly. That's yeah. For me.
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely could see that a little bit more going forward. He's got the swag, right? He was the dagger, I think, last year in Swagger and Dagger, but he's got that swagger and you definitely can have your own swagger with pins and aces. In fact, I think there was a group of Rockies players who actually went to their location. It's a Colorado business. So they make, awesome golf apparel. They're actually our official partner here at DNVR. We love our Pins and Aces gear. We get tons of compliments on and off the golf course when we wear it. They make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, and they even got a really cool beer sleeve, this innovative product that actually allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag, keep them cold the entire round. Check out pinsandaces.com and use code DNVR to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping with that. That's pinsandaces.com. You hear me talk about it all the time, Athletic Greens, one scoop in a nice glass of cold water. I got their little shaker bottle there, and I get 75 high-quality vitamins, whole food source superfoods, minerals, adaptogens, probiotics. It starts my day off the right way. It's what I'm going to be doing on Saturday when I attempt to run a marathon with okay training. It's enough. It'll be a slog, but I know I need to start with Athletic Greens to kind of get me through there, get those nutrients in my body when everything starts to break down. It's great before that first cup of coffee because you're already going to start getting a little bit of clarity there when you get that scoop in you. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to hook you up with a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D along with 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you need to do is visit athleticgreens.com/ROC. Those are the first 3 letters of Rockies. Athleticgreens.com/ROC to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Good luck with the marathon. Which marathon are you doing?
It's called Longview Marathon. It goes from Fort Collins to Loveland, and it's mostly concrete, which is unfortunate, but I think, you know, most marathons are on concrete. I do like the dirt beneath the feet. It's a lot less pounding, but yeah, I got to get off the Schneid. I feel like it's been a couple of years since I've done an official one. So
yeah, I didn't want to say it, but I felt like you were being awfully lazy, you know, not having run a marathon in a significant period of time. Shame on you.
It is. No, I agree. It's shame on me. Not shame on you, because I do want to talk a little bit about Aaron Judge, but this week's podcast, really, really enjoyed it. You had Spilly and Huey on for the season wrap up. I love your end of season awards and hearing those guys' takes and that the little banter back and forth about, you know, who should win, who shouldn't. And you also slip in there a statistic about Sean Bouchard about how he's very much like Aaron Judge. I was not expecting that nugget. That was great.
I think that's an embellishment, saying that we had Sean Bouchard very much like Aaron Judge. I think it had to do with on-base percentage in the month of September specifically. Hey, kudos to Sean Bouchard, man. He's walked 7 straight games. 7 straight games he's drawn a walk. And oftentimes it's a multi-walk game. So, you know, he's a guy that we don't talk a lot about, but, you know, he's probably opened some eyes as, you know, a potential piece. And when I say piece, I'm not talking about necessarily, oh, he's an everyday guy. I don't know if he's an everyday guy. You never want to sell anybody short, but, you know, as a guy that comes off the bench or plays a couple times a week, I think he's shown that he has the ability, you know, to maybe be a big leaguer. So, you know, good for Sean Bouchard.
Yeah, good attitude, good clubhouse guy, and brings the good vibes, like Ryan Spielborgs and Jeff Houston. So I really really enjoyed that one. And we also learned this week. So I'm number one. I'm your first listener of the Drew Goodman podcast. We learned last week, Bud Black, number two. He's listener number two. Big fan of the Drew Goodman podcast. I didn't forget. I didn't forget from last week.
Listen. I hope Buddy on occasion is bored enough that he pops that on when he goes for his morning workout. Buddy's got a lot on his plate, and he probably sees me enough. I don't know if he has to listen to my podcast as well, but if he does, bless you, Buddy. He'll be on coming up here too. So
that's good.
You know what? I think I've done this at least once, if not twice. I get Buddy Patrick on his drive back to San Diego. Now, yeah, you know, he has his Colorado home, which he loves, but he likes to drive back to San Diego, and it's a way, it's like cathartic for him. He kind of unwinds. And I know at least once I'll call him during that long drive, right? I think he does it over 2 days. And that's when we talk, and ultimately we do stuff on tape for kind of an end of season deal.
I remember that from last year. Yeah. I think that's right. That's so cathartic of like letting it, you know, kind of wash away, having that, you know, solitude. I mean, that's what it feels like for me when I run, of you know, you kind of, you're flushing out all these things in your mind. He's leaving home, right? He's leaving Denver. He's running away from it all after the end of the season. But then when he's done on his trip, he's also back home and he's ready to start anew. So I'll be looking forward to that one as well.
Yeah, I got to see how he's doing it this year, because he usually runs down to Instructional League and instructs, or the Arizona Fall League for a minute. But yeah, he needs to unwind too. You just like you need to unwind. We all need to unwind after, you know, going day in and day out for, you know, for 7 months. So we all need that time away.
What's the over under on him saying to you, all right, Goody, I got good news and bad news. Good news is I'm driving back to San Diego. Bad news is I'm doing it on a Harley. What? That might be a hard conversation.
The chances of Buddy riding a Harley back from Denver, I think, is whatever negative number you want to apply, I think would be apropos.
Under. So the under all the whole way.
Well, under, yes. Yes. The, you know, Buddy's got some renaissance to him. I just don't see him on a Harley. It may be Joe Madden, his good buddy. I just don't know if it's, I see Buddy screaming across St. George, Utah.
I'm making a note there for we've got a lot of time to fill in the off season. Top five managers most likely caught on a motorcycle.
Right, I'm going to bring because you brought this up. I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to say, hey, listen, I was talking to my man Patrick today on his podcast, and we were talking about you driving back, and I say, what's the chances, Patrick asked me, of you riding a Harley back to the San Diego area? He'll get a kick out of that.
He will. Gabe Kapler, maybe. You got to ask Gabe. He could do that. I could see that.
Gabe, I could see him doing that.
He's on the list.
I could see him doing that. I don't know if he's a motorcycle guy. He's into a lot of different things. I don't know if he's – I'll ask – you know what? I'll ask him today, too. I said, are you a motorcycle guy?
He might paddleboard. I mean, he's like from Santa Monica, I feel like. He could paddleboard down from San Francisco. I could see
I think you're onto something there. Something tells me he can hold his own on the surfboard, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And all right. All right. He probably prefers that, body beautiful guy, right?
That's it. Yeah, that would definitely works for him. All right. Aaron Judge, 61 homers, gets it done in game 154, Yankees 154th game, which, that's what partially the film 61 asterisk is about. Bowie Kuhn said, hey, you got to do it in 154 games or else it doesn't count because that's what Babe Ruth did. Hey, Judge did actually accomplish that. So new AL record, at least ties for the AL record and ties for the Yankee record. And it's certainly the most home runs by a right-handed hitter in American League history. I think Jimmy Fox had the record before that with 58.
Yeah, Patrick, I think his you usually know such things. I believe once he hit 60 for those few games that he did not homer in until last night, I think his walk rate was like 35-36%. Of his at-bats, and I saw most of them, as I know you did, and all good baseball fans were able to see him, and it's like he wasn't getting anything to hit, and he finally did last night, and I was fortunate enough to be watching it live, and he kind of hit a Stanton-esque home run, because, his home runs normally are these majestic, high, 28, 32-degree fly balls, where Stanton's are like 16 degrees and they're a bullet. He hit one of those out, but special moment. And you can tell how adored he is by his teammates, just how they received him when he got back near the dugout.
Yeah, such a great moment. Also kind of fitting that the guy who nearly caught the ball but did not was named Frankie Lasagna. Real name. Yeah. So that was a nice Yankee style wrinkle.
I didn't see that. Moment. That's the guy's name?
Yeah.
What do you like it. Roll out a pot of bings?
Forget about it, I think, yeah. Pretty much. So Frankie Lasagna misses it. Judge ends up getting the ball back, gives it to his mom. And that embrace, between Roger Maris Jr. and his mom was just so nice for that to have happened. It's great for it to come together. When he does hit 62, who knows? Hopefully we don't have to wait another week for him to do that, but that will be great. He's had such a wonderful season.
That amazing season. He's had a great season, and by all indications, as we were kind of discussing, he's a great kid. I mentioned this with you in the past. I know DJ, who I adore and have the highest regard for. I know DJ is really close with Judge, and that kind of I think speaks to who Aaron Judge is, just knowing DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah, we gotta find out. Has there been any buzz around Oracle Park about maybe Aaron Judge coming to San Francisco? They've been kind of one of those names that are out there. I think the Yankees, they've almost have to do everything they can to make sure that he doesn't suit up in another uniform here in free agency. But the Giants they're kind of always in the mix for these big name guys. I mean, they almost, did it with Bryce Harper. I remember when he was a free agent. And so, they've got some money to spend for sure. And, you know, he's from that area in general, at least, or went to school in Fresno, and you know, he's from the LA area, so I'm sure he wouldn't mind being back in California. But have you, is there buzz going around Oracle?
Well, I mean, let's be frank. You and I both know buzz means people like you and me, or writers write or speak on podcasts or radio shows about, hey, wouldn't be a good fit if Aaron Judge was in San Francisco. After all, he went to Fresno State. He's a Californian. The Giants have deep pockets. You know, until you, and you can't hear that from an ownership perspective right now, because that would be tampering. So you can look at all of the usual suspects, and they're probably all going to line up in some way, shape, or form to see and kick the tires on an Aaron Judge. I think the Yankees, clearly, the Mets, you would assume, with the deep pockets of Steve Cohen, who's, I think I said it on my podcast, Patrick, and you remember stuff I said more than I remember stuff I said. I think it's Cohen's fifth wealthiest owner in sports. Steve Ballmer's number one with the Clippers. So, you know, those two teams, the Dodgers, they're always mentioned, Giants, and then there's always a sleeper team. There's always a team that says, hey, we're going to go for it. But when you start playing the geography game, I usually kind of give you the raised eyebrows. I don't mean you. I mean, euphemistically, it's like Trevor Story. The Rangers are going to sign Trevor Story because he's from that area, and it just makes sense. Let me explain something. When you make 25, 30, 35 million friggin' dollars a year, you're going to live in the best neighborhood in whatever town you're playing in for the 6 months. And if you like another state better or another part of our country better for the 6 months that you're not playing, you can buy a home there in the best neighborhood in that place. It doesn't matter. Let's not get all caught up in, oh, man, this guy's from Southern California, so therefore he's going to go back there. This doesn't work that way.
So when MLB expands to 64 teams, there will be players who do not care about the weather when playing for the North Pole Elves.
Well,
hey, I love the neighborhood. I love the school.
Yeah, if it goes to 64, like the hoop tournament, I guess they're at 68. It may not be North Pole, but Nome is going to be, you know, having their representatives fly to New York with why Nome would be such a wonderful place for Major League Baseball.
The schools in Fairbanks, Alaska are top notch. So, it makes sense. I could see that possibly working there.
Yeah. I did have a conversation with an old friend of mine, Jean Martineau, who's vice president of the Avalanche. I saw him at a get-together the other day. And, you know, he, big baseball fan. And we were talking about baseball in Montreal. And I still hope when baseball does expand to 32. And I know, you know, Nashville and Las Vegas and Portland and some of the, you know, frequently mentioned cities, and not to suggest they all aren't, you know, deserving or can't be persuasive in why they are deserving. But I'd love to see Major League Baseball back in Montreal. And then you have another team in Canada. In fact, I would be thrilled if it was Montreal and Vancouver, just selfishly, two tremendous cities.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, yeah. I just, you know, my consciousness in 93 and 98 isn't what it is now, but it does seem like there are a lot of very viable options for MLB for those two new spots that are coming up. Like, you know, you really can have your pick, and you're going to have a lot of success at pretty much in any of those places. So not a bad problem to have by any means. Have you started to think about here as we wrap up the postseason and what it looks like? Because I feel like I got my feet under me, but it took a week of trying to contextualize. Okay, the first two seeds, they get a bye. Then you've got the other division winners, the three seed, and they play the worst wild card team, and the best wild card team gets to host. And now we're kind of like settling in and to what these matchups are like, which means if you get a bye, I mean, you're going to be similar, have a similar situation to the 2007 Rockies. You're going to be off for about a week until you have a game there in the division series.
Yeah, and I don't know if we make too much of that if a high seed has the 6-7 days off, Patrick, and then they lose, and naturally we're gonna see things written and spoken. Well, they got stale because baseball's a game that's played every day, and they didn't play for a week, and you can only practice and scrimmage and simulate so much. So that narrative will always be out there from this day forward. I'm excited to see the three game. The two out of three, because, you know, you go down 1-0, man, the next day is a must win. And I love postseason baseball in that you may see Clayton Kershaw roll out of the bullpen, that, you know, Max Scherzer come in to, you know, get six outs in the middle of a game because there is no tomorrow, that kind of thing. And the fact that in that wild card series that we're initially referencing, it's all at one ballpark. It's okay. You were the higher seed. You don't have to get on a plane. All three are going to be played here if three are necessary. I think it's going to be fun. I think it's a really nice innovation to the game.
Yeah, it's much different than the NFL, where if you have a bye week, I mean, having 2 weeks off, you can rest up and you can recover and get a great game plan together, what have you. This, you know, not as much. It will be interesting. I have heard some people suggest, no, if you got a bye in the first round, like that's going to be huge for you going forward. It also helps you're one of the top two teams. But I'm not convinced that, you know, a wild card team can't even win two on the road and then go on a run right there and knock out the number one or number two seed. They're also not restructuring the matchups. So if the number six team wins, you know, the final wild card team that sneaks in, they're going to get the number two seed. They're not going to get the number one seed. So that's just going to be what it is. So it'll be fun. It'd be fun to have a nice new wrinkle here going into October.
The one thing we definitely know about baseball and wild card, and even with this new format, to your point, any team can win it. The Braves won 88 games. We all know that. And they were the last one standing last year. You go back to the Marlins in 97 and 03, and they, you know, under a different format, they got a roll and they won. The Rockies in 07 were a wild card team. They barely got in the playoffs. They had to play a game 163, and they ended up in a World Series. So baseball, more than any other sport, it certainly is possible. So even with the new format, I wouldn't dismiss that as still a something that could occur. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say about the one thing about game 163s and the Rockies played in a legendary one. I don't know if all fans realize you will not see another 163. I mean, if the Rockies, as they did in 18, were to finish in a tie with the Dodgers, there wouldn't have been a game one. There wouldn't be a game 163 moving forward as there was in 2018. There would be just the Rockies won the season series 10-9, therefore the Rockies would be declared division winners. And if somehow they didn't play 19 that year and going forward they won't, and it was a tie, then they would look at division record. Okay, the Dodgers, you know, had a better division record than the Rockies, and they would be declared division winners. So there won't be the drama of a game 163, but you could have a drama of very early on game three in the wild card, you know, being, you know, win or go home. And so you'll have more of those. So it'll be fun, man. It really will be fun.
You brought it up one last thing, because Saturday is the 15th anniversary of game 163, October 1st. Favorite memory or favorite? You feeling old thinking that was 15 years ago now? I mean, it's a cool little anniversary.
Yeah, I never feel old. I will never give in to that.
Good man. I like
idea.
That.
What are my memories? I think the first thing, Patrick, when you said that, the first thing that jumped in my head was I was with my family. We were doing pre and post game, super pre and post game shows, right? Once the network went, you know, before they went on the air and once they went off the air, which was a lot of fun because, you know, we'd been with the team all year. And so to be able to kind of continue on but I was watching the game from seats. I wasn't up at press level, but I was all dressed up, suit and tie and big overcoat, I believe, because it was pretty cool if memory serves me correctly. And, you know, I was watching with my family And when we got to the 13th inning, and after Scott Hairston had hit the home run, I said, all right, I'll see you guys later. And I made my way to the Camberwell area by the Rockies dugout, just getting ready to go on the field and kind of do the postmortem, you know, interviews of the disappointment of, you know, coming so close in this great, great run, but it's going to fall short in game 163 and extra innings to the Padres. And then, like everybody, just being blown away. And also the other thing I recollect is just how fast, at least in reflection, it seems to have happened. It was like, you know, Tulowitzki, and next thing you know, there's Holiday, and there's a line drive, and Jamie Carroll, and there's a line drive to right, and Giles makes the catch, and you're like flat-footed. There's no way he can throw him out, and then he makes the perfect throw, and you know, we know what transpired. But that's what that's the first thing that comes to mind, that I was making my way from to my family to get ready to go on the field, and everybody was kind of glum because it was, you know, the Rockies were going to lose.
That's wild. Yeah. So you were in the Camberwell at that point. So you got to see with your naked eyes right there.
Yeah. First, I mean, I don't even have great. I don't remember exactly when it happened. I think I was in the Camberwell. I mean, as I recall, I mean, I wouldn't have been standing in front of people. I would have, you know, I was doing it kind of between innings, but I think it was between the top of the 13th and the bottom of the 13th when, you know, now the Rockies were down by a couple of runs. So, yeah, I was in the Camberwell, and, you know, it was bedlam.
It was bedlam. That's wonderful. Yeah, we missed those times. That was great. Anniversary, 15 years.
It's
going to be a lot of that. Fun reliving it. It's going to be fun reliving it. Fun listening to the Drew Goodman podcast, as I do and as most of you do already, each and every Thursday when it drops. Ryan Spielborg's Jeff Hewson talking about the season here for the Rockies and end of year awards. It's a good one. Make sure you're listening and subscribed. Make sure you're following him on Twitter at DrewGoodman42. We are at DNVR_Rockies, and I'm at Patrick D. Lyons on Twitter. Goody, appreciate your time as always. You've entertained us all as you always do. But unfortunately, as they always say, I'm the only one who says it. Momentum, look, it's only as good as your next show. So we will actually talk to you tomorrow around noon for the Dodger series.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.